Oh boy, oh boy, it's Friday edition. Robbie and Rex Road. Oh man. 102.5, 106.3, the game. I'm a little bit flustered. Joe Rex Road here. Adam Vingan, your final day in for Robbie Stanley. Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley. Like, I'm red hots and strokes tonight. Like, that's all I have to say, guys. I know that we have football to talk about, but red hot chili peppers and strokes tonight. Nissan Stadium. Anyone else out there going? Let me know. I'm already, like, irrationally excited, and my son, Jack, is going to be so embarrassed tonight of me, and it's going to be glorious.
The first five listeners to text in at 615-737-1025 and that are going to the concert and find Joe, he'll buy you a beer.
Jeez, well, hold on now. Let's take it easy. So the problem is I don't want to buy you a beer at Nissan, but I can, like, give you a voucher for a more
– An IOU?
Yeah.
Just print out some when you get home.
How about if I buy, like, a couple beers for five of you? Is that cool?
A couple beers.
Just buy one tall boy and
so
tell
what,
me I'll have
two
to
beers
share.
For five people?
Yeah, that's, you know, pass it around. Well, we'll see. Actually, at that point, I'd probably just go ahead and do it.
You're going
come
to be
hi.
So excited that you won't even realize you're doing it until after it's done.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is also preceded by, you know, Jack and I are trying to find the best burger in Nashville. So we're going on like this huge crawl of burgers before this.
Okay.
I don't know how that's all going to work out.
Where have you gone?
No free ads.
No free
shots. No free ads.
Okay, we'll talk about it after during
yeah.
the break.
Yeah, I've got like a big... You know,
how many
file with
how many
all
places
the
have you gone to so far?
I think we've gone to I know we've tried more than this many burgers because we've tried three at one place, but I think we've gone to like eight places now. So I'm hoping to get to four today. So if you split a burger, so what we do is, you know, we order one burger, cut it in half,
mm-hmm.
and we're also rating the fries. Mm-hmm. But so if we go to four places over a decent period of time, you're talking about, you know, you're talking about eating two burgers, two whole burgers.
Yeah.
Right? So that's doable. It's just, how does that then all weave into the you know, the butterflies in my stomach for the concert tonight, you know?
And your weight loss journey.
Well, yeah, it's not.
This is a special event.
This is a cheat day. This is a cheat day
cheat
for
day.
Rex Road.
Free day. Yes.
Listen, it's all about balance in life, so it's fine.
Yes, I agree. Today will not be a balanced day. It will be an imbalanced day. But, yeah, you got to have a day like that. I've been pretty good. So excited about that. And before we get into our excitement for talking about last night's preseason game, how's this week gone for you, Vingan?
Well, that's a better
five straight days of coming in here.
That's a better question for Michelle and Joe as well as our listeners. I mean, I think it's been going well. I
think it's been going great.
I know that I'm not as smooth as Robbie Stanley.
None of us are.
But none of us are. But I've enjoyed it. I enjoy sitting in. I've sat in with you. I've sat in with Robbie. I've sat in with Caroline. I've even sat in with Jared. So I've gotten the full – I've run the full gamut almost. And I enjoy it.
Who's your favorite?
Well,
No bias or anything.
Well, I have known Robbie the longest. But
that
I,
is true.
But you and I have worked together for a long time, too. So
it's us.
Yeah, come on. It's natural.
It's a no-brainer. I didn't realize that you did a full show with Stillman?
I did. It was at, I think it was the end of July. It was the day that the violations against Tennessee were announced. So I sat in with Jared.
God. So you got the first taste of Vols fans need to be punished eternally not embracing Greg Schiano?
I think we spent the entire second hour talking about Jared's thirst for revenge against Tennessee fans for Schiano Gate.
Of all his bad takes, my God, that one is a beaut.
Yeah,
Vols fans deserve more suffering.
He had some things to say about your conversation yesterday about Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I know. We'll get to him later. I haven't listened to it, but you know, I'll listen to it at some point. We'll get to it. I guess just keep it going. We can just feud on and on. But Let's talk about this this Titans game. There's one topic today that I feel is going to be dominant. If this is how the people want it, this is how the people can have it.
Some spicy backup quarterback discourse, perhaps?
Yeah, and the interesting thing is this is something that, if all goes well for the Titans, will not affect them one bit this year. But it's still an important question. It's an important position. And it's an interesting discussion. I will allow that the way Logan Woodside played last night, more than anything, more than the way Malik Willis played last night, I will allow that. Like it makes it – I think it reopens the discussion. To me, it's been closed. Now, to me, in my opinion, reopens the discussion, but let's start with this. It's still, to me, a long shot, I would say. I would call it a long shot that Malik Willis is the number two quarterback when the season starts and Logan Woodside is off the roster. I don't think that's going to happen. I thought zero chance going to last night. I will say Woodside was not good. Woodside was not good. And Malik Willis, you saw some good things. Now, was he good? What's really fascinating about this is the reaction from some Titans fans to this compared with the reaction to Mike Vrabel. We'll listen to Vrabel's take on this later, but it couldn't be more different. Like, I mean, like, it could not. It's like just completely opposing opinions of Malik Willis. Not that I don't think Vrabel was ripping him, but Vrabel was not happy with, I think, several plays. Malik Willis did not unload the football. Now, he can escape a pocket. I mean, you can see that. And he is a weapon. I mean, his touchdown run was fantastic. And by the way, that's Kyle Hamilton, first-round pick of the Baltimore Ravens, that he left in the dust with that sweet cutback. And he made some throws, too. So you can see why he was drafted, why he's a prospect, that he has ample ability. Again, though, we're talking about who is your best bet as the number two to come in if you lose Tannehill for any period of time. And as poorly as Woodside played last night, I still think he's the answer. I welcome all people screaming at me now.
It is interesting because I think we talked about this yesterday and a lot of the listeners agreed that the number one story entering last night's preseason game was Malik Willis in terms of the level of interest for those of us who pay attention to the Titans. And I think you saw both the good and the imperfect when it comes to Malik Willis. As you said, clearly he is comfortable improvising in the pocket and has some great escapability. So you can feel good about that for sure. But it's, you know, we'll, as you said, we'll hear what Mike Vrabel had to say after the game. But, you know, there is a limit to how much improvising you want. There are quarterbacks that can certainly get away with it. We think of Patrick Mahomes, for example. But, you know, this is an apples to oranges conversation. But I think you saw both the good and the not so good from Malik Willis. You saw what makes him an intriguing prospect, but you also saw why he needs a lot more work in order to be a potential starting quarterback in the NFL. And we're getting way ahead of ourselves when we talk about that, but they drafted him potentially with that in mind. So it was, like you said, that touchdown run, you know, cut one way, turned around, went the other way, burned Kyle Hamilton, who was a top 10 pick, right? Or close to it?
Close to it.
I mean, yeah.
Prominent pick. Absolutely.
Was a prominent pick out of Notre Dame, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, that wasn't some scrub that Malik Willis was blowing by on that move. And that was really impressive. And, you know, it was interesting to watch the level of excitement ebb and flow on social media during the game last night. But, you know, I think Malik Willis's quote-unquote NFL debut, if you count preseason games as a career game, I think it went about exactly as I expected it to go.
Like, is that right?
You know, you saw the good. You saw he's got arm strength. We know that. He has the ability to evade defenders and scramble. We saw that. But we also saw some, you know, imperfect passing and some, you know, an inability to lock down in the pocket and make a throw. So I don't think I was surprised by anything I saw from him last night.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was surprised either. I think it was – I wasn't sure that there would be as many plays made by him. I knew that there would be some plays like we saw where, you know, the ball's not out and it's okay. And it kind of gets muddled and then he breaks the pocket. I knew we'd see a lot of that. And for Vrabel, it was too much of that. And so he said, you know, he took him out in the second half after a play that he wanted him to unload the football and he ran instead. But I think – I mean, there were more – I wasn't sure, you know, if there'd be – you know, a sweet cutback touchdown run or a 48-yard completions. But, you know, he made some of those plays. He shows you that he was playing football. I mean, he's got, you know, he's got the ability to play football. And he's exciting. I mean, it's fun. Long, long way to go. There's also a lot more to this game that we will get into as well. But I have a feeling that today this is going to be a topic people want to talk about. Also today we've got two folks later in the show who were there, TD, as always, on Fridays at 8 o'clock. And then we got Ben Arthur from the Tennessean at 8:30. And I don't think I even told you guys this. We got Racy McMath at 9:15. Arguably the story of camp in terms of impact on the field this year that was unexpected. I would put Racy McMath, I think, first on the list, at least for me, in terms of surprises. We'll have him at 9:15. And when we come back, we will continue on the Malik Willis, Logan Woodside discussion and the Titans preseason opener 23. We still haven't even mentioned, like, this. What is it? Will they lose? 23-10? Whatever.
21 consecutive preseason wins for the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, the source of pride in the city of Baltimore is celebrating
extending
today.
Extending their own record.
It's almost better. This is almost better than than they were celebrating the win over UVA 16-1 a couple years ago. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Being out there in that live action, how did that process, and I know you wanted to, you know, match your feet to your eyes and everything, how did that process go for you?
Yeah, I missed some things probably, and I just made up for it with my legs. I can't continue to, like, you know, rely on that, though, but that's what the preseason is for. So you can just see those things against a live defense, and one we hadn't played before, you know, with the joint practices next week, we'll have an opportunity to play these guys, but like you say, you just got to look at the film, take it for what it's worth, and continue to work. I mean, we're in the middle of camp.
That was Malik Willis last night in Baltimore. Question from TD Tron Davenport about his performance in the Titans' 23-10 loss to the Ravens, a performance that was just destined to spark much conversation. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, Joe Rex Road, Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezovic, Intern Handley. Hit us up on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and also you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. The streaming, by the way, I think we had a we got that worked out.
All good, yep.
Sound-wise. So thank you, Tony or Scott. It's our buddy Tony and Scott, or Scott
Tony
and Tony.
Scott's been very
he's been very
this
active
week.
This week. Very active. Yeah.
Tony Scott, by the way, is the name of a very good director. What's the movie with Christian Slater, Quentin Tarantino? Wrote the True Romance, Tony Scott. There you go. A little trivia for you, fun fact. So Malik Willis, he was, I think you laid it out pretty well, Adam. He had some good moments. He had some rough moments. I mean, the acceleration to elude rush is, it's handy. There's no doubt. You know, I mean, and look, it's not that we didn't know that was there, but you just, like, you don't see it in camp because, again, once you break the pocket out here, the whistle blows. Whistle blows, okay, next play, line back up. You know, real football game, okay, now tackle him. And so you saw that. And I thought maybe the most impressive play he made was that little sidearm flip play
mm-hmm.
to Tommy Hudson. That was some nice little like Matt Stafford like improvisation. You know, change the arm angle to get it, by the defender and got it there accurately. So now the pass to Racy McMath, who again we'll have on the show at 9:15 today, was it wasn't perfect. If he hits that with accuracy, Racy McMath might take that up the sideline. He at least gets more than 48 yards. But hey, 48 yard shot. A few passes just sailed a little bit high on him, which like even the first play, right? They set up a little bootleg, a little bootleg dump to the fullback. You can't have a more quarterback friendly first play. Feel yourself, completing the ball, get a little completion, get 5 yards. Get into a rhythm, and he waited a little bit, and then he put too much on it. That's what it looked like to me. Looked a little, too much mustard on it. So you get the jitters and all that stuff. But again, I look at last night as a step forward for him. I do. It's just that I think some people are looking at it as more of a step forward than it was. You have to. On a lot of those plays, like you've got to see it and hit it and get the ball out. And that he's still not there yet. It's a long process. This was a good step. I don't think it's anything really more than that. But I understand. I mean, every year I think people get on the why is Logan Woodside our backup train, and now you actually have a prospect who could end up being a good quarterback in the NFL potentially behind him. So it's different than Trevor Siemian, Matt Barkley. I mean, this is actually a draft pick that people are excited about. So that's going to intensify that part of the discussion.
Yeah. And as you said earlier, if everything goes right, that battle won't matter this season, because Ryan Tannehill will be healthy and starting and productive, and one of those guys will be backing up and the other guy won't be. But it is interesting. We talked about Logan Woodside earlier in the week about his place among NFL backup quarterbacks, and in this league you have a mix of players. You've got journeymen backups who, like we mentioned, Chase Daniel, who have made a career of just being a backup. You have former starters like Andy Dalton or Nick Foles, who are there with New Orleans and Indianapolis respectively. And Logan Woodside's interesting just because he has been around the Titans now for a few years. He understands the system. He knows what he's supposed to do in a Vrabel / Todd Downing offense, but he certainly doesn't excite anybody. And as you said, this isn't a situation where Woodside is battling with a journeyman out there like Trevor Siemian. This is a player that many draft experts said could be the first quarterback taken off the board in the draft. It didn't work out that way. Fortunately for the Titans, he fell to them in a really good spot. They didn't have to reach for him. But Logan Woodside's future, his ceiling in the NFL, is exactly what he is right now. Logan Woodside is not going to develop into a starting quarterback at the NFL at the NFL level. Malik Willis at least has the potential to do that.
Yes.
And because of that, that's the question. Does it make more sense to have Malik behind Ryan Tannehill and being directly, being on the sideline every week and learning like that? Or, is it better to have him, be that third stringer and take it really, really slow? Probably the best thing would be the latter, but I don't think anybody wants to hear that because they want Malik to be in a position to actually contribute.
Well, that's exactly right, the way you put it. Logan Woodside, his ceiling is holding on to a job as a number two quarterback in the NFL. That's just reality, okay? And Malik Willis's ceiling is much higher than that. Now, how high is Malik Willis's ceiling? Well, here's Heidi from Dixon, good friend. Good to hear from you, Heidi, so early in the morning on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. She says, Willis has more upside than Ryan. Hopefully he can harness it before next season. If Ryan loses in the playoffs, we got to move on. That is one scenario that could happen. Does he have more upside than Ryan Tannehill? Tannehill, by the way, I think one of the most underrated aspects of Tannehill, and something that I had really like no idea until he got here, is how athletic and fast he is. He's actually, he's a threat. You don't see it a ton, but he can also break the pocket and make plays. Does Willis have more upside? I guess I would agree with that. I mean, honestly, Willis's arm talent is it's pretty special. The thing is, even in camp, what we've seen a lot is, okay, pat the ball, miss the first read, or, don't throw it into a window that you've got to be comfortable throwing in. I think that's probably as big as anything. There's been a lot of talk about the footwork and the timing and all that stuff, for sure. But I think beyond that, I would say, like, there's a lot of plays where NFL quarterbacks are like, okay, that's my window. It's small, but that's an NFL window. Throw it. And Malik Willis is still has college windows on the brain, which, again, this is what happens. Rookie quarterbacks in this league. And so he's patting the ball, first read, maybe gets to a second read, maybe, and then breaks the pocket. But what we've seen quite a few times is then he'll still be able to absolutely rope one to a spot, especially in terms of improvising. So I guess I would agree with that. Would you agree with that? I mean, Ryan Tannehill is still like a pretty accomplished and good NFL quarterback.
It's a good question, just because of the age discrepancy.
So basically, it just comes down to if everything broke perfectly for Malik Willis,
would he be better than Ryan Tannehill?
I think it's possible.
Yeah,
I think it's more likely. By the way, though, more likely that Malik Willis isn't a starter in the NFL. So that's the interesting thing about this. I would say if I had to bet, that'd be my bet. But does he, if everything broke well and he kept building to be his absolute best possible, then yeah, I mean, I think I'd agree with that.
Yeah,
it's a process.
Yeah, for sure. And that's not a question we'll have answered now for several years, maybe. But it is a good question. I can't recall it because it's been so long, and I can't say I was paying attention to Ryan Tannehill when he first broke into the NFL, but I can't remember exactly what, people thought his upside was when he was drafted into the NFL.
Well, very high. I mean, he was, where did he go? Number 8 overall?
Yeah, I think he was definitely top 10.
Yeah.
So in that regard, I'm sure that there was, I have to imagine there was a lot more hype around Ryan Tannehill than there was around Malik Willis. But yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. I might irritate you when I say this, but when Madden released its ratings, when Madden released its ratings, earlier this month or late last month, I can't remember, in arm and throw power, Malik Willis hasn't thrown a ball in the NFL.
I saw that.
Number 6 in throw power in Madden. Now, what's interesting about Madden?
I'm actually impressed that Madden, picked up on that.
Well, the people that do those rankings, they digest a lot of film. They change those rankings every week. After every game, they update those rankings. I saw that and I kind of did a double take. I was like, really? Number 6 already? And, that's obviously a great skill to have combined with his ability to improvise, as I said earlier. But, yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's hard just because I'm still stuck on the age discrepancy. Maybe I'm making too much out of that. But I feel like it's hard to compare a 33, 34-year-old quarterback with a early 20s quarterback.
Well, yeah, but – yeah, I mean, obviously you're projecting ahead with Willis. You're also like, you gotta keep in mind Ryan Tannehill may be gone after this year. Maybe he loses the playoffs, has a good year, but he loses the playoffs, and they're like, okay, got to move on. There's still like, if you want to talk about gap, there's still a gap between Willis and Woodside. I know some people are going to argue that, but there is the gap between Willis and like Ryan Tannehill as an NFL quarterback, being able to go out on a Sunday and execute a game plan, spread the ball around, pre-snap. Everything, accurate, all of it. It's massive. It is massive, okay? Doesn't mean it can't be closed. but it's massive. When we come back, we're going to get into the other aspect of this and a couple tweets from Paul Kaharsky, one of which was idiotic and one of which I liked very much. Robbie and Rex show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, Robbie Stanley here, and the NFL Week 1 odds are out. Now's the time to try FanDuel Sportsbook if you haven't already. Get in on the action early this season. Right now, new FanDuel Sportsbook customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. I really like Derrick Henry on the rushing title this year. I think he's going to go for the third time in his career. Also like Aaron Rodgers, maybe for back-to-back-to-back MVP chances, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just sign up using promo code ROB, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. There's no better place to get ready for football season than on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code ROB to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Once again, the promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee.
There might be a bad word coming up. Be ready to bleep that up. Robbie and Rexrod, welcome back in. Thank you for playing some Chili Peppers for me, Michelle. Getting geared up.
I got you, Joe. We got to get hype at 6:30 for this.
That's right. And speaking of getting hype, let's get hype to talk about Paul Kaharsky on Twitter. So a couple things from PK last night. One, which is just, it's so annoying, and it's just, please stop with this, Kaharsky. Is the, if you tweet about a game that you aren't at, like he goes total hall monitor, right? So we got into a fight last night. So basically, Kaharsky thinks that if you are tweeting about a game, like if you're like, wow, what a play by Malik Willis, you must make it clear that you are not there, okay? Like if you're a media member, you understand what I'm saying? It's to the point where like Teresa did a great job of trolling him and put, like, you know, from the couch, like Dateline. You know, we're making fun about from the couch Datelines. Just enough, man. Like, enough. Why does this have to be such a big deal?
I liked his response to you where he said, so cool how you endorse lying / faking.
Yes. I was making jokes about, like, putting a Dateline on it. Like, you know, I'm going to have to just find all these. Someone had a good joke.
I liked your little.
Yeah. From the toilet.
Upon toilet.
Yes. Yes. Dateline. You know, I like Dateline. So people who don't know Dateline. So Datelines, you know, if I go cover the Titans in Baltimore, it's all caps. Baltimore, you know, dot, dot. And then you start writing your story, right?
Yes.
That's your Dateline. Wherever you are, if you're covering something. So I made the joke of, you know, couch. You know, someone on Twitter, I'm trying to find it, football and other F words pod, tweeted at me like, you know, from the fridge or whatever, something like that. So again, we're just having fun with it. I would agree that you shouldn't pretend to be at a game covering it if you're not there, if you're a media person. Yeah, football and other F words. From fridge. Sounds like something big just happened. But also like, like Garski was not there last night. I wasn't there. It was a very small group. We got two people who were there who were going to be on later, TD and then Ben Arthur. But does this really have to be some huge thing where you're constantly, if you are not at a game, that you have to say every time you tweet about it that you aren't there?
Yeah, you know, I don't have as much of a problem with that as Paul does. I think, you know, if you're doing play-by-play from the couch – maybe.
Yeah, I
but if you're just offering assorted thoughts every now and then, that's fine. As long as you're not tweeting, you know, like Teron, who is offering analysis of almost every play and does so expertly, which is why we like Teron so much. If you're doing something like that and you're sitting at home and you have a beef with that, if you're Paul, I can kind of see that. But if you're just like, hey, I really like Malik Willis's poise on that play, and that's like your one tweet for the first half. Like, who cares? Yeah. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Like, so his tweet is, I won't pretend to be in Baltimore tonight. May comment a bit. We'll have big thoughts in a post after the game. Well, I hope your big thoughts. Every sentence Paul said, by the way, I wasn't there, but here's a thought about this. Oh, and here's a thought about, oh, and by the way, I wasn't there. Just, come on. Now, Garcia did have a tweet that I very much liked, and I think it, I think it's fair, and it was biting, and I think it was fair, and also it included profanity, which I appreciated. Here's his quote about Logan Woodside. Quote, knowing the playbook sure buys Logan Woodside room to make a lot of bleepy throws, which is pretty good.
Yes.
Because the Logan Woodside question is asked every camp for sure, multiple times. And pretty much without fail, Mike Vrabel goes to, he knows this offense inside out. He studies so much, the playbook, et cetera. Like that's, I know this year that was the first thing. You know, he studies like no one else, I think was the exact quote. Logan Woodside, knowing the offense, having a feel for the offense, et cetera, et cetera. You know, at some point, like when you're playing football, like you can't play the way Logan Woodside played last night. Now, a couple things. And this was a back and forth with me and Titans Twitter last night. The threes offensive line in front of Logan Woodside last night couldn't block a soul. Okay, I feel like just about every play he had at least one defender in his face before things could develop. It was pretty bad. And the counter to that coming back to me is, well, he's playing against threes too. Why isn't he dominating threes? Well, you aren't dominating anyone if you don't have anyone blocking for you. So I think he deserves, like, that's got to be taken into consideration. At the same time, he threw two picks, and he really tried hard to throw another one. Malik Willis tried to throw a pick six early. Let's also remember that. But Woodside just didn't look good last night. He didn't look comfortable. I think he came in earlier than he expected, as Vrabel said, because Vrabel didn't like Malik Willis running on that the last play he played in the game. You know, they're trying to get him to stay in the pocket and make throws, step in and make tight window throws that you have to make to be an NFL quarterback. But Woodside didn't help himself. And, again, I do think there's an opening of a discussion that I thought was closed. I'll go that far. I think it's a long shot. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Woodside's going to be the backup quarterback when the season starts. But at least this, I mean, he's got to play better than that. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, and I would have to go back, and this sounds like a punishment, but I would have to go back and look at every, you know, backup quarterback battle Logan Woodside has participated in over the past 4 or 5 years, right? Since he's been on the team. We mentioned a few. We mentioned Trevor Siemian. We mentioned Matt Barkley. I'm sure I'm missing somebody. DeShone Kizer?
Yes. I think that's basically, there's your trio of quarterbacks they've brought in, and then he has he has turned them all away.
That was a good pull.
Very good pull.
Yeah. So they one of many Browns starting quarterbacks over the years, if I recall correctly, DeShone Kizer.
Absolutely. Kevin Byard's All-Pro season of, I think, 2017 owes much to DeShone Kizer. I think throwing him the football 3 times on a particular day in Cleveland. Yes.
But anyway. He had, you know, Logan Woodside has had, I don't want to say a level of comfort, but he's younger, and as Paul alluded to in his tweet, has a lot of trust of the coaching staff versus the older players that are just trying to hang on in the league. But this is not that, you know. This feels like maybe the first real time that Logan Woodside has had someone legitimately breathing down his neck for his job.
Well, it's such a different deal because those people were brought into, let's see if you can be good enough to be a backup quarterback. Let's see if you're good enough to be our backup quarterback. Malik Willis is a developmental. Let's see if someday, you can be our starting quarterback. I mean, so it's just a different dynamic. And Woodside, it's like when those guys came in, it was short period. Here, get in, learn the offense. Let's see how you can do. Here's a guy who's been here a long time. He knows the offense. Let's see if you can catch up real fast and pass him. And so their timelines were very condensed. Now, I mean, Kizer was here in the spring, and I thought he looked good in the spring of 21, and it was just bad in camp. But Willis, it's like, come in and we're going to take our time. And you're not, you know, I mean, fans may want him to be the two, and he, I'm sure, would love to be the two, but he's not here to unseat Woodside. He's here to see if he can be the starter. And so you got to keep that difference in mind.
Yeah, and that, and I guess that's really the question that Titans fans are asking themselves is, well, if this guy, Willis, is potentially the successor to Ryan Tannehill, why is he not in a higher position on the depth chart than this, you know, glorified practice squad player, their words, maybe not mine, in Logan Woodside? And I get that. I get that. And that's something that is going to be continue to be a topic, you know, for the rest of the preseason. You know, in the quarterback, in the backup quarterback battle, you know, Willis was the decisive winner last night, and he didn't even have what I thought was he was fine. He did, like I said, he did what I think most people expected him to do. He showed where he excels. He shows where he needs work. But there was an excitement there and the potential there that Logan Woodside just doesn't have. So, you know, those other preseason games will be interesting. But, you know, I think Malik Willis did, a lot of people were excited to see him. I think he won over some people last night, too.
At some point, I feel confident. I don't know about, you know, Malik Willis being a starter. Look, most drafted quarterbacks, always keep this in mind. Most drafted quarterbacks come way short of the expectations and hopes. So I don't know if he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I feel pretty confident in saying that at some point in the future, and maybe not too distant future, he will be a better option for a team as a backup quarterback than Logan Woodside will be.
Mm-hmm.
But the question that I need to ask now, and we'll get to this when we come back, is this. If Ryan Tannehill is out for a game or two in October, let's say, and the Titans need someone to come in and manage a game and try to cobble together a victory, are they better off with Woodside or Willis based on the information we have right now? We will hit that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game for the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Probably hear this one tonight, Nissan Stadium. Sweet tickets. Will not be in a mosh pit, though. Welcome back, Robbie Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I hope you're as excited as I am about the Strokes and Red Hot Chili Peppers tonight. I'm going to be talking about it the whole show. Hope I don't annoy you.
I am a Chili Peppers fan. I'm not as big on the Strokes.
God, I love them.
I can appreciate the Strokes. Like, that's how I talk about bands that I can
don't understand. Actually like listening to.
Well, well, I mean, look, we all have bands we don't like, but you know, the Strokes are a band that I can I understand the appeal, and I understand and appreciate their musicality and their popularity. But it's just like not my jam.
Yeah, that's fine. As long as we can all agree that the Chili Peppers are goated, we're good. You know, I mean, you know, there's different types of music we all like. Chili Peppers should be universally beloved, goated.
I did just watch the 3-part Woodstock 99 mini doc.
Yeah, I've heard that's good.
On Netflix. I'm incredibly fascinated by Woodstock 99 just because of how big of a, you know, disaster it ended up being. And how feral all the fans turned because of the conditions that they were under at the on the grounds. But the Chili Peppers actually, and they closed Woodstock 99.
Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah,
it looked incredible. I just didn't realize it was such a bleep show at the time. I was going to say, speaking of bleep show, but that doesn't really work as a transition. So I have no transition. But let's get back into the quarterbacks. And the text line driven by WilsonCounty.com. Bofa Murfreesboro says, It would be nice to have a previous starter somewhere as your backup. Neither of the two we are speaking of looked as if you could win a football game with them in for four quarters. Agree with this, Bo. I know that's difficult for any backup quarterback to do. However, I'm unimpressed with either of the Titans' choices after Tannehill. Lance says, Malik over Woodside, but his release is so Vince Youngish. Accuracy problems for sure. Negative Nancy Lance. Vince Young, I don't know about that. But I thought, look, I think Malik Willis, when he throws the ball, I mean, he can throw the ball. And he can put it in a spot and get it there with some mustard. So, and he can throw a really nice touch pass down the field, too. Raymond says Woodside has like one regular season completion. He is not Fitzmagic off the bench. Well, no doubt about that. Listen, I still ask this question, and I still, I'll ask you right now. Now you have to consider development too. So you have to consider Malik Willis. He's about to get another week, and he's going to get a week going against the Bucks 2 days. He's going to play a bunch in the preseason game Saturday against the Bucks. Then another week, more practices against the Cardinals. So let's fast forward to like a month into the season, okay? Without knowing exactly what it's going to look like at that point, you would assume he'd be better. So a month into the season, and Ryan Tannehill, you know, has a non-disastrous injury, but he's got to miss a game. And keeping in mind what this team is, and I think that's always important to talk about. Who are you choosing to quarterback the Titans to a victory? Logan Woodside or Malik Willis?
Right now, it would be Logan Woodside just because he has a better understanding of what the Titans do than Malik Willis. But I'm not asking Logan Woodside to really do anything special. I would have him hand the ball off to Derrick Henry as many times as humanly possible. And not do anything crazy in the passing game, you know, a game manager type. That, you know, that is what Logan Woodside probably is if he had to get into an NFL game. I think there's less risk in having Logan Woodside in that role than Malik Willis, because I think Woodside understands what his limitations are while Willis is still trying to figure out what his are. So it's not going to be the most popular answer, but I think it's the most logical one. I think it's Woodside.
I do too. What this team is, I think, is important because the Titans can win games this year with their defense and yes. with their running game.
Mm-hmm.
So, the game manager situation, I mean, I'll go back to a totally different situation, but like week two of Vrabel's first year. And that year in general, Marcus Mariota got the injury in Miami in the disastrous opener. By the way, Ryan Tannehill, quarterbacking the Dolphins, still went over the Titans in Mike Vrabel's first game. Not that Tannehill was all that great that day, but he was better than Mariota, and Mariota got hurt. And so on and off that year, you know, he was struggling with that. He was out for the next week. And, you know, they cobbled together a win with their fourth and fifth tackles, with Luan and Conklin both out, and with a fake punt to Kevin Byard and all these things. But also with just a quarterback who he just had to make about three throws in that game. Like there was late, they were down, and it was like a third down, and he made a throw. I believe to Tajay Sharp. I think that's right. You know, you make a few throws. Other than that, like you just running the ball and you're managing a game, and you know, at least you know exactly every aspect of the offense, and the defense. There's experience. Now, people point out Woodside doesn't have experience in games, and that's true. I agree with that, but I think that right now that probably is a safe choice. Again, maybe. That changes over time. Maybe in the next few weeks, it's like on a daily basis, it becomes clear that like Willis is just the better choice. But in practice, I know people, this is like people just saw something last night, and I think there's different interpretations of it, but they saw something last night, and so they don't want to hear like, oh, tell me about practice. But I'm just telling you, in practice, there's a gap. I mean, there just is. Now, Slick says, and I agree with this on the text line, the choice is solely between Willis and Woodside to fill in for multiple games. I think Willis would have more potential to win you a game. Woodside's a better option not to lose you the game, short passes and checkdowns. But the choice won't be between those two. If Tannehill goes down, the Titans will sign a vet to fill in. Yeah, maybe. Go look at the wire there on what vets are. I mean, go look at we did this yesterday, Adam, or maybe a couple days ago, going through backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it is not a pretty sight, folks. So the idea, yeah, let's go get a veteran. And they've tried to get veterans to come in here and take Woodside's job, and it hasn't worked out. A lot of reaction on the text line. Unnamed, do QBs like Woodside understand their roles and limitation? Do they always believe they can be starter caliber if they get the right chance? I think Logan Woodside, being realistic, is trying to be a career backup quarterback in the NFL, and that is a hell of a career, by the way. It is great work if you can find it. I mean, that's his upside. So, again, at some point, Malik Willis is going to pass him, I believe. I just don't think that point is going to be in the next couple weeks. Lot of reaction from you folks on the text line on this, as I figured there would be. But when we come back from this, we're gonna talk about the huge difference in reaction between some who thought that Willis was fantastic last night. I mean, I don't think he was fantastic. I thought he made a few plays, and you're like, ooh, there's some intrigue there. But the Willis, the first blush evaluation of Willis from Mike Vrabel, I would hope would mute a little bit the idea that that he's about to be ready, to be on a football field on Sundays. I mean, that was never the expectation. It's not the case now. So when we come back, we will get into that on Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game Nashville app.
Hey, Robbie Stanley here. My friends at Twin Peaks will hook you up for your fantasy football draft party, which includes a draft board, player stickers, free Wi-Fi, a $50 bonus for the commish, and a $5 bonus card for each drafter as well. And when you're not on the clock, relax with one of Twin Peaks' refreshing 29-degree beers or order one of the fan favorites like the double stack nachos, loaded fries, and multiple flavors of boneless wings as well. Call Twin Peaks in Cool Springs to book your fantasy football draft party at 615-221-0869.